Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
And welcome to Onceable, episode 112, where we will be talking about episode 19 of season 6, The Black Fairy. We are in the home stretch of episodes. We've got this week and then the musical episode and then I believe the 2-hour finale, if I'm doing my math correctly.
And the 2-hour finale airs on my birthday.
Oh, so we will be celebrating a lot of things. The end of Rumble and Caitlin's birthday.
That would be a great birthday present, the end of Rumble.
Do you hear that, Once Upon a Time writers?
Yes.
You could give Caitlin the greatest gift of all, killing Rumpelstiltskin.
Please.
Definitely. Well, I'm joined by Caitlin and Kristen this evening, and how are you guys doing besides rooting for Rumpel's death?
Pretty good. I have a new phone, and life is fantastic, so loving it.
Yeah, you were talking about that on Rewatchable. You were very excited.
Yeah, it hasn't left my side. It's, you know, when you go from a 4S that you've had for 4 years to a 6S, and it's like, oh my God, things move when you touch an app and it opens. Shocker. Like, it's lovely.
That's great. I was put off by how big it was when I first got my phone from a 4S, and I'm like, I can't reach anything. My thumbs hurt.
That is true. Karen's just excited because now I have no excuse not to use Instagram. Before, it wouldn't open on my phone. Like, I couldn't get the app to open. And so I had an excuse. Now she's like, nope, no more excuses. Time to go. Oh, boy.
Good. You should use Instagram. It's my favorite app.
And you can look at all my photos of Gage.
Yay. I like that plan.
All right. Well, let's talk about Once Upon a Time, because I would rather talk about everything else besides Once Upon a Time, but the night is young and I am not. So it's almost time for my bed. All right. So let's kick it off with thumbs up, thumbs down for the Black Fairy. And let's go to Kristen first.
Thumbs down. Not even adorable Henry and Hook could save it. There are no words.
Caitlin, how about you?
As many thumbs down as I can possibly manage, which I guess is 2. But
well, if Gage had opposable thumbs, it would be like 4. So that's an extra 4.
Yeah, so 6 thumbs down on my end, because stop trying to make Rumple happen.
Yeah, definite thumbs down for me as well. Just, I can't believe what I watched, and I couldn't believe that there were still 12 minutes left after what I watched already depressed me so much. It's just, I feel like they ruined everything they did over 6 seasons, because we can't have nice things on Once Upon a Time. I wanted Zelina to run me over with her car. Boy. Well, there were a few bright spots in the episode, and we were able to pull out a few favorite quotes. So let's kick it over to Caitlin. Let's go with you first.
So mine was from like one nice little scene in the episode when Hook says that he's not going to spend the night before the wedding because he can't see the bride before the wedding. And Emma's like, WTF, you live here? And he says, a seafaring man does not take superstitions lightly.
So cute.
And his little kind of eyebrow wag as he walked out the door. I was like, yeah. You are so adorable. You are why I put up with this.
Mm-hmm. Where is he going to sleep? On that park bench that he's been frequenting?
The Jolly Roger?
Maybe Granny's. Oh, yeah, I guess the Jolly Roger is available. He does love his ship.
He does have a ship.
I keep forgetting about it because, like, when we go to the dock, it's, like, not there. So,
yeah.
Kristen, what was your favorite line?
Okay, so I kind of stole 2, but they're both from Snow because her snark was the only other thing I enjoyed in this episode. The first one is when she calls Regina, and the first thing she says is, okay, Regina, time to put on your mayor pants. just got me. Beautiful. And then the second was when they were searching Granny's and they found the wand and they were like, Regina, how are we sure it's you? And Snow goes, Hook's right. We should have a safe word or something. Just, oh, Snow. How I love Snow. She's become like one of my faves because she's lately, she's just been popping in with some really great one-liners and then just kind of stepping away.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Snow was really funny. And that safe word thing, when you have people impersonating each other all the time, that makes so much sense. Why wasn't this like a rule so long ago?
Right? Like everyone should have a word or something for each other, just that no one else knows. Like each pair of people, they should have established this a long time ago.
It like alternates every week or something.
Yeah, and we've fallen into this trap so many times that it just makes so much sense. My favorite lines were from a few people. So my first favorite line was from Emma, who, when they jumped into the dream world, she goes, I thought there'd be like flying pigs or talking donuts or something. And I thought that that was really funny. And then I also liked when Hook and David had their little bro moment and were like, jukebox, jukebox. And then they moved the jukebox and find the wand piece. And then I also did kind of enjoy, this is the only part of their storyline that I did enjoy, but it was like, I yelled duh at the TV. So that's why this quote stuck out to me. It was between Rumple and his mother when he says, it seems our family history spins in a dark circle. And I'm like, you think? Like, you just literally retraced everything that your family has done. And it's not even on just your mother's side. Like, your father was kind of an asshole, too. And I can't with this family. Oh, my God. If I have to hear, I did it for my son from anyone's mouth again. I can't handle it.
But they did it out of love.
Oh, love does not exist for this family.
No. Nope.
They don't know what love is.
Definitely not.
All right. Let's kick it off with what we want to talk about. And I'm going to go first so we get it out of the way, because I see that the two of you like completely avoided the Rumple topic. Like these other two moments that they picked exist for like a grand total of 5 minutes in the episode combined.
I was going to say, are you taking a bullet for the team? Like, all right, I'm going to be the one who says, let's talk about this because we have to, even though we don't want to.
Yeah, I'm taking a bullet for the team because I'd be happy to just pick another completely unrelated moment, like the opening title card, and just be like, let's talk about that and avoid everything that we don't like about this episode. But I'm really frustrated with the fact that season 5, 95% of season 6 has been about Emma stepping into the role as a savior, all of these other characters figuring out who they are and where they stand, whether they're a hero, whether they're a villain, whether they're somewhere in between, and just becoming accepting of where they are and the journey that they're on. And then to, in one scene, completely discredit all of the work that Emma's done, it's sort of been like, oh, well, I'm kind of off the hook now, so you're going to be the savior who fights your mother, and you're going to be the hero, and that's great. I'm going to take a step back, and it actually doesn't matter that I'm the savior because all of this was for nothing. Granted, going forward, I'm pretty sure that Emma's story is going to still play out with that vision and the showdown because, as we saw at the end, Rumple's still a coward. He can't step up to his mother. He can't banish her. He still lies to Belle. He still lies to his son. He still tries to put on the front of being a hero because he can't accept that he's not going to be a hero. And so we still have Emma dealing with that, but I felt like this episode just did so much to discredit that whole storyline for everyone else, for every other character. At this point, every other character is sort of just like, oh, well, all right, Emma, you're the savior, but that's just really like a title, I guess, because, you know, Rumple's also a savior, and I don't know, I was just so frustrated. What did you guys think of any part of his story? There's the Tiger Lily fairy godmother tie-in. There's there's all sorts of stuff, like the black fairy stealing fairy powers and then becoming evil because she made a decision. Like, if that was true, then a lot of people would be, like, dark all the time.
Well, and if it's that easy to become a fairy, say a couple words, wave a wand, and ta-da, you are now a fairy. I'm sure there's a line of people who wish they had magic, who would line up and say, all right, I'm next. Zelina would be first in line. Like, it just didn't really make a lot of sense. And I was like, okay, if that's how she became a fairy, and then poof, she says one terrible thing and becomes the black fairy. It's like, okay, this was way too easy. Like, how is she the darkest of dark if this all just kind of, it just seemed so cheap. In addition to all of the Rumple stuff, like, just the black fairy nonsense really made me crazy.
I mean, I assume I took away from her turning dark like that was because she was about to destroy a heart, like, as a fairy, and fairies are supposed to be, like, essence of goodness, so, like, threatening to murder and, like, while you're the essence of goodness, like, I feel like it's a lot more sensitive or something. Like, it wouldn't just be a regular person couldn't turn evil like that. But I just assumed it was because she was a fairy. But I agree, it was totally cheap that she waved the wand and spoke a couple words and was a fairy. Like, Tiger Lily was saying, you know, oh, that shouldn't be possible. And then it's never touched on again. Like, yeah. Okay, so maybe she's really special in some way. Like, maybe elaborate on how she was able to do something that shouldn't be possible. Like, that might be good.
I mean, she spent the whole winter, you know, hunting down children in order to save her son, but also she was going to banish all children in the end. So, like, her intentions were building way over time as well. And I just didn't see the whole idea of her being banished and then, you know, reaching out to Rumple and getting him into her memories and so he can see what really happened and making him feel bad. I just, like, kept walking away with, like, am I supposed to feel bad for anyone in this situation? Because I don't feel bad for Rumple. I don't feel bad for the Black Fairy. I don't feel bad about them feeling bad for one another because they both, like Rumple says to her, it's like, but you still made that choice. And yeah, Rumple still made all of those choices. Like, the one thing isn't going to make me feel better about everything else you did. Like, Zelina's story arc, it's still not making me feel better about the fact that she pretended to be Marion. Like, I don't feel better about it. I don't care what else she's done, even if she ran over someone with a car. I don't care. And I don't care that Rumple and his mother are trying to reconcile or that she did it out of, you know, trying to preserve her innocent son's life because he had this great light magic.
A true parent would have given, it's the same problem we have with Rumple, is a true parent would have given up their power. Mm-hmm. Like, if you mm-hmm. really cared about your son, you would have cut your thread to your power because that's what was threatening him. You had a chance to prove that you care about your son and that you've been doing this for your son, but she's not. As much as she wants to protect him, she also likes the power. It's like, just claim it. Say, I like the power. Because, you know, the whole, if I sever him from his, then, you know, it'll be fine. And I won't be the biggest threat to him. And then seeing him step in, you know, having Emma be like, I don't think I'm the one who's going to face her. I'm like, oh, like, she cut his thread. He's not a savior anymore. Like, he could have been. Mm-hmm. He's not. That future was erased. He's made so many bad choices that are all on him that it's way too late for him to be like, oh, I could have been a savior. I'm going to claim that now. Yeah, I'm going to be a savior now. I'm not, you know, I have my Dark One pet powers, but I'm going to be a savior. Like, no, you can't just do that, especially with how long it's taken Emma, who is good in, you know, as many ways as she can be, to accept her goodness, like to accept being a savior. Like, it's taken her a long time. So it's absolute garbage that he can just step in and they'll be like, okay, you're going to face her. That'll work. Okay, you go. It's your turn. Like, mm-hmm. No.
I agree. It goes along with just, you know, it kind of discrediting everything that we watched Emma build up to. And then we're supposed to, it's like that trickery that the show thinks that they can get away with at this point in the series. And, you know, I think, Caitlin, you even tweeted this during the episode. It was like, oh, wait, he's totally lying. Didn't see that coming. Like, you know, of course he's doing that. We're left with zero surprises by this type of character at this point in the series. That why even bother getting everyone to believe in him and having him in the position again to lie to Belle and again to lie to his son that he's finally reunited with and again lie to the town and make everyone feel like he's a part of their community and willing to help. It just, it's lazy storytelling, in my opinion. And it's not doing anything for me anymore. So
I just wish, kind of like Kristen was saying, like, just own it. Mm-hmm. Like, just own the fact that you're horrible people, because, you know, the first rule of storytelling is to show, don't tell. And the writers are showing us one thing, that Rumpel is just like his mother and that they both far prefer power over the people in their lives, and they will make that choice over and over and over again. She will probably make that choice in his face in two episodes. Like, they will never not make that decision. But then they are trying to tell us, oh, like, Rumpel has good things about him. He was once a savior. Isn't that amazing? And you should feel sympathetic towards him. Sorry, I buy what I see. And what I see has nothing to do with what you're trying to tell me. So just maybe make them go along with each other. And I'd be far more intrigued if Rumpel and the Black Fairy were just like, we're horrible people. We're doing what we're doing because we're horrible people. Like, okay. There's something to be said for villains who are evil for the sake of being evil.
Exactly. Like, not all villains can be redeemed.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Well, and the other thing is, if they do one more of these, like, blank, just kind of, like, cutaway conversations, like, Rumpel and Black Fairy are talking, they blank cut to him talking to everyone and, like, putting her heart on the table, and it's, like, they don't fool me anymore. Like, I knew that that wasn't her heart. I knew, or even if it was, like, you know, I don't know exactly how that happened, but, like, I knew he was lying. It's not a surprise. Like, I think they still want us to be surprised by some of these. And then he's, you know, we go back to them and he's like, she's like, did they buy it? And it's like, we knew he was lying. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. Like, he doesn't know how to do any of this. Like, I cannot believe that they actually trust anything that comes out of his mouth at this point. So that made me a little crazy too. I'm like, just stop.
Plus, yeah. As an audience, we should be fully aware that they're going to parallel Emma's wedding with Snow and Charming's wedding, and the big bad's going to interrupt the wedding. Like, duh.
Yeah. And just like David was, we had that whole episode where David's like, I don't want anything to ruin this. So of course you're going to create a false sense of peace, because then there'd be zero stakes for next week's episode. Like, are they going to make it down the aisle? Are they going to be able to have the fairy tale wedding, or is it going to be interrupted? You know, like, you have to have something looming over it because you have to get to the finale. Nothing can be resolved in this episode, and yet you're still going to have the wedding in between the finale. Like, you're not going to have a standalone episode, like, just 1 week before and then be like, okay, unpause for the finale. Like, it's like, put everything on hold, we're going to get married, sing some cute songs, everything's going to be great and happy and wonderful, and then we're going to unpause, Black Fairy's coming back, Rumpel's evil again. And I agree with what you were saying earlier, Caitlin, about owning the evilness. Just, it would make Rumpel a far more interesting character. He's so much fun to watch in The Enchanted Forest because he doesn't have anything that he's trying to, like, you know, save about himself. He's just inherently evil and looking to make a deal. I mean, of course, until, like, we get some of the Bell subplots and stuff, but just when he's just working against Regina or working to train her and then fighting, you know, he's just, he's more interesting to watch. And this sad Rumpel is, it's not amusing, and it's not making me feel anything. I'm pretty sure I was supposed to be, like, choked up in the dream world when he's hugging his son, but I was just like, you're probably going to stab him in the back in 20 minutes, so I'm not that invested. I did, however, enjoy the transition to, like, where they were trying to get Rumpel to remember his, like, childhood memories, and he's just like, I'm going to stare at this blanket until it happens. I just loved it. That was so great.
Yeah.
So I do have one more question about the Black Fairy, and this kind of goes into something that I read on Entertainment Weekly, but then thought about again when I was watching this episode, and it kind of will be, I guess, more related to the finale since next week is the wedding, but it was brought up in this week's episode. So when the Black Fairy and Regina are in that showdown in the street, the Black Fairy says, like, you know, I basically created this town because I created the curse. So if they defeat the Black Fairy, does, like, the town, like, what happens to all that magic? Because is it still, like, bound to her, or is it separate? Like, would Storybrooke completely cease to exist if the Black Fairy ceases to exist? Because that could be that reset for season 7.
That's what I was just thinking. Like, that could explain the reset if they all end up, like, back in the Enchanted Forest because Storybrooke doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It also makes me wonder, like, she created the Dark Curse, but Regina's the one who cast it. Mm. So you would think that it would be bound to Regina and to her power because she's the one who sacrificed a loved one. She sacrificed her father. She's mm-hmm. the one who, like, went through the sacrifices and things to do the spell. So I would hope that it would be tied to her life force and to her magic rather than the Black Fairies, but it would explain this reboot they keep talking about. Like, it would be an easy way to, you know, wipe the slate clean and start fresh. So it could go either way.
Yeah, that's a great point. But I think it would be a great way to reset the series if they have the threat of Storybrooke ceasing to exist, which I think is an interesting stake to have at this point in the series, because sure, like, we've been sent back to the Enchanted Forest before and we've had, like, half the group go somewhere, but I think it would be interesting to where Storybrooke, like, is not a place that you could get back to ever. Like, you know, you sure you can go over the town line and you can't see Storybrooke anymore, but if Storybrooke, like, was gone, I think that would be interesting. I also enjoyed the fact that the heart of Storybrooke is Granny's. It wasn't the clock tower. I thought that was really cute.
That was a nice touch.
Yeah.
It was a nice touch.
All right. I want to kind of move into Caitlin's point about Regina and Zelina, because I thought that that was a bit of a compelling storyline this week. So what did you think about it, Caitlin?
Yeah, so we had Regina trying to teach Zelina how to drive a car. I don't know why she didn't get Zelina an automatic.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
Everything has to be difficult.
Seriously, like, do they not make automatics in Storybrooke? Oh, and randomly, apparently there's an IKEA in Storybrooke.
Yeah. That was exactly what I wrote in the doc. I was like, apparently Zelina has to learn how to build IKEA furniture this week.
I almost picked that as my quote because it was wonderful. But yeah, I thought that was funny too. I'm like, apparently, you know, there's an IKEA in Storybrooke somewhere.
I'm just really amused at that, like, visual of, like, the last time there was a curse, like, they come back and, like, there's an IKEA suddenly there or something. But anyway, so Regina, like, Zelina gets easily frustrated because she gives driving, like, 2 seconds and then is immediately frustrated. And Regina admits that she wants not only Zelina to be able to get out if the final battle goes badly for herself, but also because she wants Zelina to take Henry with her. So she is worried about Henry's fate as well. So it shows trust in Zelina to look after Henry, or as Regina puts it, for Henry to raise Zelina, which I thought was cute. But so we've got, after all of this insecurity that was pushing Zelina to be the way she was, now that she's lost her magic, Regina is really going out of her way to show her faith in Zelina. And the ultimate way to do that is to put Henry in her hands. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know that I would trust Zelina with my child, but, you know, you do you, Regina. So.
Especially if she's trying to, like, adapt to a world without magic. Like, she can barely function right now.
But well, I guess that's why Henry would be looking after her.
Exactly. But I did think that that was an interesting choice and a way to show how that relationship is working without, like, you know, without trying to make Zelina, like, feel bad about not having her magic, or, you know, trying to constantly make that the source of conversation that these two are having, because they could have easily went for an easier route here and just been like, oh, so, you know, let's just talk about how you don't have magic all the time and I'll just help you do stuff. And that could have been literally the banter for the rest of the season, because that's what I was expecting. But I'm kind of glad that they had this touching moment of just talking to one another and her realizing that, you know, when things do go bad, I need you to preserve the people that you want to protect. And one of the people I want to protect is Henry, and he's going to try to fight, which maybe, I don't know. We haven't heard from Henry in about 6 weeks, so I don't know what his plans are. And, you know, just showing how much foresight Regina is giving to this situation. Whereas, like, I'm sure Emma is also thinking about it, but I'm kind of glad that we have this dual mothering happening with Henry, so that, like, you know, if Emma gets caught up in, like, this savior or wedding mode, someone's got Henry on lockdown. And hopefully Regina also kind of told Snow and David, because I think the other baby is just, like, out of luck. You know, Neil is just, he's poor out of luck.
He's going to be with Granny. They're just, it's how it's going to go. Yeah. I was glad that this is how this went down. Like, I liked how Regina expressed her trust and her faith in Zelina. But I originally thought that they were going to, like, quote unquote, trust Zelina with, like, a piece of the wand or something. Cause I figured, like, no one will expect us to give it to you. Like, I kind of wondered if they were going to go that way. They didn't, thank goodness, which I really appreciate. But yeah, I was a little concerned with the, like, I hope Emma is aware of this, you know, plot of Regina's, like, yeah, just take Henry and go. Cause, you know, I mean, Emma and Regina will clearly, if there's a battle, they're both going to be there. Like, that makes total sense. But, like, I was a little worried. Like, he does have two moms, so make sure we communicate. Just saying.
Yeah. The lack of communication is it's startling on this series.
Yeah.
With Zelina as well, I think that it was great to have her still involved too. Like, when she, like, pulled up in the car and was like, "It's so much easier when you have something to aim for." And I actually was like, Zelina's going to come and hit her with the car, because, like, they kept, like, teetering back and forth in the street. And I was like, of course she's, I loved, like, the effect of the feathers that flew off of the black fairy after she hit her. I thought that was really, it probably wasn't supposed to be comedic, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Random rewatchable connection, but it immediately brought back Glory getting hit by the truck.
Yep. Yeah.
Moving right along, let's get to the end of the episode where pretty much everything that matters happened, and it has to do with our charming pirate. So, Kristen, take it away.
Yeah, so the only redeeming moment, true moment in this episode was Hook asking Henry to be his best man and doing it in the most adorable way possible and trusting him with the rings, and, like, it was just a really beautiful moment. And I kind of hadn't thought about the whole like best man maid of honor thing. I, you know, we've been dealing with, is there going to be a wedding? How can we get to a wedding? Though I hadn't really thought about it. So I thought it was really sweet that he asked Henry. I kind of took stock of all of the men left in Storybrooke. And I was like, I don't know who else he would have asked. Like, you can't really ask the father of the bride because that would be kind of strange. Like, it could have worked, but it would have been weird. So I really liked that he asked Henry. But it also made me wonder who Emma has as her maid of honor. Like, yeah. Is she going to have one? Who's on deck? Like, possibly Regina would be cool. I would be totally on board with that. Thoughts? Anyone?
Yeah, Regina came to mind.
Yeah. I hope it's Regina. Just because, you know, I mean, it's her son's other mother. Again, this show, man, it's so weird. Yeah, I'm hoping it's Regina. I think that'll be the perfect, like, signifier of just how far these two have come. And they really are each other's best friend, whether they want to admit it or not. It's because I think in those photos that we've seen, Snow and David are walking her down the aisle together. And so someone else is there for her at the end of the aisle, presumably to be her maid of honor. So, yeah, I'm hoping it's Regina. That would be great and just really a capstone of their relationship for this entire series. So bring it on. I think that Henry, though, oh, so cute with Hook.
It was precious, and it was what we needed because of all the weird and crazy that had just happened. Like, to give us this beautiful little thing at the end of the episode was enough to be like, okay, at least there's that. And then hopefully we'll get Emma talking to Regina next episode at the beginning or something, and then we'll have a wedding. It'll all work out.
And I love how, like, quickly it was resolved. Emma was basically like, nope, not your savior, and was like, all right, full-time wedding planner, let's go. And, like, cracked out that wedding in, like, a 24-hour turnaround. It was like, well, this is happening. I'm ready. We got everything set up. I'm good. And she was so calm. She's just like, well, I'm going to bed. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Who are you?
Definitely not a bride the day before her wedding. Just saying.
Seriously. Although Emma probably like ran upstairs and went to bed, and Snow is like probably pulling out hers and David's hair, being like, we have to set it up.
Do you know how long it's going to take to put all of these flowers on that trellis? Like, get going. Like, I can see her like running the town ragged.
Oh, I'm excited to see. Like, it looked like from the preview, to jump ahead a bit to what we're going to be talking about in a minute, the way that the songs are set up, it looks like most of it's going to take place in the past. And so I'm wondering when, if it's going to be weird if Emma's singing like in the present, because it seems like that curse where everybody's singing might have taken place in the Enchanted Forest, because it's like Zelina's in her full, like, you know, Wicked Witch garb. Regina is the Evil Queen. Snow and Charming are back in, like, they're probably just about to get married or just got married in their singing moment. And then you have Rumpel is still in his Enchanted Forest. Rumpelstiltskin scaliness. And then Hook's on his ship with his mates. And David and Snow are there somehow. It's going to be really interesting just to see how they're going to set it up.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what they do with this. My expectation, like, I have none because I just literally have nowhere to put them. Like, I just have no concept of what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, in the realm of musical episodes that I've seen, aka not Buffy's because we're not there yet, but, like, you know, I've seen Scrubs and I've seen Grey's Anatomy. Scrubs is great. Grey's Anatomy it's tragic. Oh. So
bad.
You know, so I'm hoping that this like falls closer to the Scrubs side. It's not a comedy necessarily, but you know, as long as the songs make sense and they're fun, then I can totally embrace it. So we'll just have to see.
The flashes was delightful.
That was quite delightful. Yes, always.
I did watch The Flash and Supergirl crossover mainly because of just Darren Criss. And I was like, oh, and also Grant Gustin's going to sing again. That'll be cute. And I love Melissa Benoist's voice. So I'm like, all right, we can do this for one episode. And I was so disappointed by how little singing there was. I was like, I signed up for like 25 songs and I got like four. But that last song was so worth it. It was so great. It was so, the last 5 years, I was dying inside. Everything was hurting. It was so great. Also, Jeremy Jordan needed, like, 5 more songs because he's brilliant.
And Jesse Williams.
Oh, my God. That man. That number was so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
I will forever be in love with the I'm Your Super Friend song because it's just so cute.
Yeah. Ugh. See, musical episodes can be adorable. Come on, Once Upon a Time.
Do it right.
So do it right.
It's so good. Now that we've completely just forgotten about Once Upon a Time and started talking about The Flash and everything in between, is there anything else we want to discuss for this episode? I mean, the biggest overarching thing was that the Black Fairy didn't want Rumple to find out her secret, and the secret just took 45 minutes to come out because there was like a million layers to it. And I think the advertising of Once Upon a Time does a lot to set me off. Like the hyperbole of it is just like everything changes. And I'm like, nothing has changed whatsoever.
Yeah. I just need Belle not to be pulled in by this.
I know.
And she already looks like she is. And now she's asleep. Her and Gideon are asleep, which I'm assuming means like he spelled them asleep or something.
Yeah.
Because he was like, they're out of the way. And I'm like, oh, great. Fabulous. He roofied them. He magically roofied them again.
It's so bad.
Because they need to stop making Rumple happen.
Like, every time she looked at him with those doe eyes, I was like, no. Just no. He's not doing good things. Like, no, do not be sucked in. Like, resist, girl. Resist.
Yeah. It was disappointing, to say the least. And I'll leave it at that. Predictable as well. Sorry. I will leave it alone now. I could go on and on and on about how much it frustrated me. But Rumple's still happening, so we're going to have to deal with that in 2 weeks or maybe a little bit next week. We'll see how the musical episode pans out, but it's coming, whether we're ready for it or not. And then I believe we're on to the finale from there, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to Caitlin. So we have that. And the finale, Eddie and Adam said in an interview, or just not really an interview, I guess, in their ongoing weekly conversations to Entertainment Weekly, said that it's going to, like, bring back stuff we haven't seen since the pilot. So I might rewatch the pilot, you know, and see Henry when he was, like, still in utero because he's so tiny and small.
Henry.
And just kind of, like, get a better grasp on what maybe they're thinking of in terms of revisiting. So that's something to check out if you guys haven't watched it in a while. I know I haven't watched it in, God, when did I start watching the show? I binged the first 3 seasons before the season 3 premiere. So a very long time.
It was a time before Hook.
It was a time before Hook.
Who knew that there was such a thing?
Yeah. It was back when we kind of swooned over Sheriff Graham. Oh.
Sheriff 50 Shades.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be so weird. I don't know. Is he in the premiere? Yeah. I think he is.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he is. He's the sheriff, after all.
Yeah, he is the sheriff, after all. All right. So until next week, where we'll be back to talk about season 6, episode 20, The Song in Your Heart. Ready or not, here it comes. I'm Brittany.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caitlin.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.